Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Law of God broadcast. This is Tommy Hart, your host, Lawmaster. Today we're going to continue with on our way to the Law of God, and we're going to get right into it. We're going to pick up from where we left off the last time. Now, we left off with Luke 1:1, which says this: set forth a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. Last time we met, we focused on the body, and the body has to do with Bible content. The body of Bible content is a product of the Vatican, Rome, Italy, we noted, and in that, the Vatican has put forth a book. The book is the Authorized Version, commonly called Authorized Version. I'm sorry, the book is the Authorized Version, commonly called King James Version. As I said, a book of the Vatican. And in that book, we have history. We can see things that the Vatican is responsible for going many years backward, such as we have the curse coming from the Vatican against African people. Another word for curse, we could use objectives, a set of objectives which the Vatican set forth. The Gentiles, commonly called white people, received those objectives from the Vatican and carried out those objectives given by the Vatican against black people, against Africa and its inhabitants. Of course, that brought about that culminated in the enslavement of black people by the Gentiles at the word of the Vatican. So we speak about right now the Vatican, the Gentiles, and black people. Of course, that history is a well-known thing that the Gentiles, you know, invaded Africa, conquered its inhabitants, took its inhabitants into captivity, and black people experienced the terrible ordeal of slavery at the hand of the Gentiles. And behind all that is the Vatican, because the objectives came down from the Vatican. Now, this is what a lot of people do not know, that such things as I just spoke of are in the Bible. The Vatican's objectives against black people, those objectives are in the Bible. In the Bible, those objectives are called curse or curses. Okay? So that's what I speak about when I say the Vatican's curse against black people. The curse is simply a set of ill objectives sent down from the papacy, received by the Gentiles, and carried out by the Gentiles against black people. The Bible. The Bible, the Authorized Version, a book of history. The Bible also speaks about, let me give an example of another past thing. The emancipation of black people. Just as black people were taken into captivity by the Gentiles, black people were emancipated by the Gentiles. But what brought about the emancipation of black people? As with the curse, behind the emancipation or the Gentiles' emancipation of black people from slavery is we see the hand of the Vatican. black people were taken into captivity at the word of the Vatican, black people were emancipated from slavery at the word of the Vatican. The Vatican speaks, the Gentiles carry out. Okay? The Vatican speaks, the Gentiles carry out. Black people were emancipated at the word of the Vatican, but this is not a widely known thing because the Gentiles keep these things secret. They are quiet on these things, just as they are quiet on the ill objectives set down from the Vatican against black people. They are quiet on the Vatican's hand in the emancipation of black people. All right, so we're moving on. The Bible also speaks of present day things. Now, and that's where my writings come in. The Bible has, say, commandments aimed at one interpreting correctly Bible content. Those aims, those directives, those commandments are set throughout Bible content. As I have carried out those commandments, I have come into truth of Bible content. All right? And being led by the Vatican, I have scrutinized Bible content and come to a proper and intended understanding of Bible content, of things set down in the Authorized Version Bible, commonly called King James Version. Okay? Such, I have uncovered such things as the law, the Vatican's curse against black people, the law of liberty, the law of the Lord, the law of Passover, of course, more. I don't have them set down before me, and also the glorious law of God. All right? Let me read this, please. The Authorized Version Bible is first and foremost a law book. In this episode, Mr. Tommy Hart continues to teach on prerequisites to the glorious law of God. Mr. Hart has discovered the heart of the Authorized Version Bible, and that is phenomenal. The heart of the Authorized Version Bible has to do with its main content. We are told what is main and what is crucial in the Authorized Version. Matthew 23:23 speaks of the weightier matters of the law. Bible law is principle. Having fathomed the content of the Authorized Version Bible, Mr. Hart is an expert in Bible law. He has done what no other has, in that he has discovered and is actively bringing forth the truth of Bible content. Now that is both newsworthy and praiseworthy. Teaching the prerequisites to the glorious law of God is required instruction. The prerequisites are important. They are foundational. If one does not appreciate the prerequisites, neither will he, she appreciate the revelation of the glorious law of God. Know this, the Vatican speaks to God in behalf of all Gentiles everywhere and for all times by means of the crucial content of the Authorized Version Bible. The Vatican's mouthpiece, having God as its intended object, God hears, understands, and acts on the things the Vatican says to him in the Authorized Version. The papacies, or Vatican's rule over the Gentiles, commonly called white people, is set down inconspicuously in the Authorized Version. But God has seen it, and that rule is evidenced in Mr. Hart's latest book, The Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. Note, in 1 Kings 12:24, the Vatican claims responsibility for Bible content, saying, "This thing, a reference to Bible content, is from me." The Law of God broadcast, informing you of all the things you never knew about the Authorized Version Bible. Okay, now I'm back to my outline, and we will continue from there and with that. So, I've been instructed from Luke 1:1 to set down or set forth a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. That's a word from the Vatican. And he speaks of things that the Vatican, the Gentiles, most surely believe. Those things are set in Bible content. Another rule is in Titus 1:5. And these things have to do with what I have done. Okay? When it says set forth a declaration, that's exactly what I've done. In my book, I have set forth a declaration of the things the Vatican, the Gentiles, and God believe that are found in Bible content. Now, the things were hid from God, but God found them, okay? Titus 1:5, set in order the things that are wanting. And this is where we concluded the last time. Set in order the things that are wanting. And wanting there means lacking, missing, or omitted. Set in order the things that are wanting. Set forth a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. And these are things that non-Gentile people have a need to know. I didn't say non-Gentile people want to know these things. This is a necessity that non-Gentile people must, that they need. This is a thing that they need. They need what? Truth of Bible content. Truth of Bible content. Because just listen at some of the words I say. The Bible has secrets in it. Those secrets are not taught in the churches. They are not taught. The Bible has mysteries in it. The mysteries are not taught, okay? First of all, the mysteries are not identified by the church. The mysteries are omitted, okay? But there again, we have in the directive, it says set forth, set in order the things that are wanting. And one of the definitions of wanting is what? Omitted. The church omits the weightier matters of the law. Matthew 23:23, ye have omitted the weightier matters of the law. That's a censure. The church world has omitted vital, crucial content, and in doing so, the church has given non-Gentile people a false view, a false understanding with regard to Bible content. That's terrible. That's terrible. The church, the place where you would go thinking you will get truth of Bible content, thinking you will get truth, and you get deceit. Now, let me tie the Vatican's Passover law with what I just said. Going to church, you think you get truth, but you get deceit. In the Passover law, which is a part of my book, the Book of the Law of God, you'll find the Passover law in there that has come from the Vatican to the Gentiles. In the Passover law, the Gentiles are instructed to teach deceit, not teach truth. They are actually commanded in the Passover law to hide truth, cover truth, be quiet on truth, be quiet on it, be still. The Vatican and be quiet, the Vatican has commanded the Gentiles. And that's what they do. They are still, they are quiet on truth that is found in Bible content, truth that is hid in Bible content. Notice that the Vatican, being responsible for Bible content, has hid truth in the Bible. Okay? Crucial Bible matter is hid. All right? So you have a lot of people say, I read the Bible, but I don't understand it. That's good. That's good. That's a good confession. I read the Bible, but I don't understand it. Such people do not try to make other people think that they are Bible scholars. They are just honest. They say, I read the Bible, but I don't understand it. Well, let me say this. The Vatican did not intend for you to understand Bible content. That's why they wrote Bible content as they did. And how did they write it? Crucial Bible matter is, and I've said it like this before, the Vatican tore up, ripped apart, separated crucial matter, separated subject matter, intermingled subject matters, okay? Like the matter of the law of God is not written straight out in Bible content. It's fragmented throughout Bible content, fragmented, scattered. Parts of it are scattered all throughout Bible content. So when you read the Bible, you do not see this is the law of God, and then you read the law of God line by line. Now, this is a big deal. I'm sure some of you have heard me say this before, but this is a great big deal that Bible content is written in such a way that the unlearned, okay, an unsuspecting person will overlook truth. He will not see it. The invisible things of Bible content. And you have that in the statement a lot of churchgoers are familiar with. The statement set in Hebrews 11, verse 1, which says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of invisible things. Who can bring forth the evidence of the things that are not seen? God can, and God has. Okay? God can, and God has. The things which the Vatican sought to hide in Bible content, God has picked up on those things. God has discovered those things. God has found those things out. Isn't that wonderful? God working in behalf of men. God working in behalf of people. The Vatican has worked opposite to that. Okay? But God has worked and is working in the behalf of the people, of all the people. Okay. So Matthew 23:23, ye have omitted the weightier matters of the law. What is a weighty matter of Bible content? Is given in that statement, the law, the weightier matters concerning the law. What law? Any law that's found in Bible content. The Passover law, the objectives of the curse against black people, Africa, and its inhabitants. Okay? The law of liberty, the law of the Lord, the law of God, the law of the promises concerning God, and more. As I've said before, and we should never forget this statement, the Bible is a law book. The Authorized Version Bible is a law book. It is not a religious book. That's part of a cover-up coming from the Vatican. The Bible, the Authorized Version Bible, is not a religious book. It's a law book. And we have the proof. The proof is in my book. Seeing is believing. Seeing is believing. the evidence of things not seen. When you have evidence, you have something concrete. You have something that can be seen. You have a physical thing. I have physical evidence of laws the average person never knew about set down in my book. So in my book, I have what? I have the evidence of things not seen. I have the evidence of things the average person does not see when he, she, or they read Bible content. Isn't it something? These things are not taught in the churches. These things are not taught in the seminaries where black people and other non-Gentile people go. The Gentiles, along with the Vatican, have kept these things secret and hid from other people not like them. Isn't that something? This is outrageous, people. I should not be the only person stirred up by these things. I should not be the only person. Because if you don't know the truth of Bible content and you think you have some knowledge of Bible content, why? Because you have a preacher that you listen to or somebody that you listen to with regard to the Bible. You have received some information having to do with Bible content or supposedly having to do with Bible content from somebody from and somewhere. Now that takes in the masses of us, okay? That takes in the masses of us. Okay? Wherein we have been deceived. I was once deceived. But as I kept studying, I began to see things. Wow, I was taught this, but the Bible actually teaches this. And I've had a lot of wows in my 37 years of scrutiny and analysis of Bible content. Because I've found out a lot of things that I was not taught in the church. Okay? Why was I not taught in the church? Because of a preconceived scheme to keep me from knowing certain things having to do and coming out of Bible content. I should not be the only one outraged about these things. I should not be the only one stirred up about these things. Okay? All right, let's continue. Let me just read the three statements that I have covered thus far today. Ye have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Then these two directives set in order the things that are wanting. Wanting means lacking, missing, omitted. Luke 1:1 set forth a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. Now, to do those things, we must go to the heart of the matter. We go to the heart of the matter. Jeremiah 23:9 says, mine heart is broken. What is the heart? What is meant by heart there in that statement? Okay. Another statement says, in the Bible, it says, their heart was not right with him. What is meant by the word heart? Another statement says, thy heart is not right in the sight of God. What is meant by the word heart? Okay, we will take a look at that, and we will see what is meant when the Bible speaks of the heart. What is it speaking about? Just as we found out last week when the Bible speaks about the word body, this is my body which is broken for you. Okay? It's talking about the body of Bible content. The body making up Bible content. Okay? When the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about the main thing of Bible content. The principal thing, the heart of the matter, the principal thing, the main thing. That's what the Bible means when it speaks about the heart. Now let's dig a little deeper. Let's dig a little deeper. Jeremiah 23:9, you can turn to it if you want to, says, mine heart within me is broken. Now, what is the crucial content coming out of that statement? That's an acknowledgement. That's a lead. That's a hint. My heart is broken. And what does broken mean? Out of order. Not in good working condition. We're talking about the heart of Bible content. Now, when you read Bible content, you read stories at a lot of places in the Bible, don't you? You read the story of Adam and Eve. You even read the story of the creation in Genesis chapter 1. A creation story. A made-up story. A concocted story. Okay? All right? You read the story about Noah. You read the story about Jonah. You read the story about Jesus. And so you get the false impression that all of Bible content is in order. Well, those things that I just mentioned do not make up the heart of Bible content. What is the heart of Bible content? The heart of Bible content has to do with the crucial matter of Bible content, the main matter, the principal matter of Bible content. And the principal matter of Bible content is not the story of Jonah and a whale. It's not the story of Noah and an ark. It's not the story of Adam and Eve having children. It's not the story of Jesus dying, on a cross. Those things do not make up the crucial matter of Bible content. Those things have nothing to do with law, do they? Or do they? Now, if you dig deeper, you'll see that Jesus in the story was crucified. Why? Because he broke certain laws. But Jesus himself is not a real character, but that's a story, okay? And you read that story, you could say it's in chronological order, or you can see, you know, a sequence of events. You know what I'm saying? But the crucial matter has to do with laws that I have already mentioned and have not mentioned. Law of the Lord, law of the curse, law of the Passover, the law of God, the law of the promises of God, the law of the expectations of God, the writ on all things. All those things are laws, regulations, rules, and all. Okay? That's the crucial matter. Those things make up the crucial matter of the heart of Bible content. And not the faith of Bible content, okay? The heart contrasted with the faith. That's what you read, that's what you see when you just read the Bible, you know, line by line. That's the faith. But we're talking about the heart of Bible content. We get a little deeper. We go deeper than the faith. Okay, let's move on. Okay, Jeremiah, Isaiah 23:9, mine heart is broken. And I said, that statement is an acknowledgement. It could also be said it's a confession. Call it Father. Okay, let me move on. Okay, mine heart is broken. And we said broken means out of order, not in good working condition. Mm-hmm. Let me read this announcement here. We'll deviate and read this announcement here. The glorious law of God, Mr. Tommy Hart, author of the manuscript, The Glorious Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God, has spent nearly four decades analyzing and scrutinizing the Authorized Version Bible, commonly called King James Version. Mr. Hart has been successful beyond measure in coming to a proper and intended understanding of the truth of Bible content, and what he has done with Bible content in terms of analysis and scrutiny is simply phenomenal and amazing. Who would have thought that the Authorized Version Bible is a law book and not a religious book? Mr. Hart's work, The Book of the Glorious Law of God, leaves no room for doubt. In his book, he sets forth one after another laws the average person never sees or never knew was in the Bible. In his document, Mr. Hart gives solid, sound, irrefutable evidence of unseen things the Vatican has hid in the Authorized Version Bible. Also in his book, The Glorious Law of God, All Things the Demonstrated Power of God, Mr. Hart has set in order the disordered things of Bible content. He has fulfilled the commandment found in Luke 1:1, set in order a declaration of the things most surely believed among us, the Vatican has said. I say this, isn't it time you understood your Bible? Mr. Hart has written his manuscript for you, whether you be Gentile or Black, whether you go as Christian, Muslim, etc., whether you pass as one who's conscious or not so conscious, whether you are privileged or deprived, whether you are degreed or not, whoever you are, whatever state or condition you are in, the Book of the Glorious Law of God is for you. Beware, we are at war. There is an enemy. But the Vatican has tried to hide truth. God has found what the Vatican sought to destroy, evidence, God has reconstructed, and it's all in the Book of the Glorious Law of God, All Things the Demonstrated Power of God. To obtain your copy of this wonderful, magnificent document, call this number at the end of this program. 706-829-3624. Again, that number is 706-829-3624. Do not forget us. We will be back next Sunday, April 4th, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. For information on purchasing a copy of Mr. Hart's book, The Glorious Law of God, call 706-829-3624. And now we continue with the scheduled program. Okay. We are leaving Jeremiah 23:9, and we're going to Psalm 78:37. In order to get a clear and unshakable understanding of heart as used in the Bible, in the crucial content of the Bible, heart. Okay, Psalm 78:37 says, let me turn to it so I can read the full statement. Psalm 78:37. All right, we find these words, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. The first part of what I just read, their heart was not right with him. Whose heart was not right? The Vatican's heart. And where is the Vatican's heart? The Vatican's heart is found inside of Bible content. In the crucial matter of Bible content, the Vatican's heart has been found. Okay? Their heart was not right. The Vatican's heart was not right with who? With God. It wasn't right with God. Okay? Next statement. And what does right mean? We need to get a definition of that. We see that broken meant out of order, not in good working condition. What definition do we give to the word right, R-I-G-H-T, as used in Psalm 78, verse 37? That definition is in a satisfactory condition or in good working order. Isn't that wonderful? We have contrasting words. We have broken, meaning not in proper order, you know, not in good working condition. And we have right in a satisfactory condition or in good working condition. The Vatican's heart is broken. The Vatican confessed to that in Jeremiah 23:9. My heart is broken. All right? And then we have a statement, another statement where the Vatican, put out by the Vatican because it's in the Bible, says their heart was not right with him. The Vatican's heart was not right with God. When God investigated and searched for and found the heart of the Authorized Version Bible, he found that it was not right. That the heart of Bible content, the Vatican's heart, is not in proper working order. It's out of order. If it were in order, and I don't mean to be repetitious, but I want to be clear. If it were in order, you would see the law of the Lord written out line by line in good sequence. You would see the law of the curse, those objectives the Lord set forth, which the Gentiles carried out against black people. You would see those objectives in proper order, in a sensible, intelligent order, line by line. You could read it line by line. If the law of God were in proper working order or was right in Bible content, it would be well sequenced. It would be in order. You could read it line by line. If the law of the Passover were in proper working order or was right in Bible content, you could see it easily, huh? And you could read it line by line. But none of those things are right in the Bible. By design, on purpose, they are not right. From the Vatican. And God has seen that these things are not right in Bible content. That they are not in proper working order. They are not in a good condition. God has seen it. Huh? He didn't miss it. He did not misread. He did not omit it. He did not overlook it. He looked and saw the weightier matters of the law. And he saw that those things were not right. They were not in good working order or proper working order. They were not well sequenced. They were not properly arranged. Okay? All right. Their heart was not right with him. The Vatican's heart was not right with God. The Vatican has said, my heart is broken, out of order, not in a good working condition. So how in the world? No wonder people say, I read the Bible, but I don't understand it. They read the stories, you know what I'm saying? Okay, let's move on. All right, Acts 8:21. The people should be outraged by these things. Should be. Any intelligent person should be and would be totally outraged by these things. Because these things are unacceptable. Unacceptable. The Vatican is confessing. He says, my heart is broken. That's a confession. He says their heart was not right with him, with God. That's a confession. The Vatican, did you know that? The Vatican confesses in Bible content. Confesses of what? He confesses to doing wrong. What wrong has he done? He has made his heart incorrect, okay, in Bible content, with regard to Bible content. He has made his heart incorrect. That's not good. That's not good at all. All right, Acts 8:21 says this. This is very important. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. And then you have this statement here. Listen. For their heart is not, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Third time. First we read, my heart is broken. Then we read, their heart was not right. And now we read, thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Found out. The Vatican is found out. And these words, God says to the Vatican, thy heart is not right in the sight of who? Not man, but God. Oh, boy. God speaks directly to the Vatican, Rome, Italy, saying these words, thy heart is not right in the sight of God. And what is the heart? The crucial matter of Bible content. Thy heart is not in good working order in the sight of God. Vatican. Wow. That's powerful. And it says, in the sight of God, not in the sight of a man, but in the sight of God. I believe that. I have proved that. And the proof is in my document, my manuscript, titled, The Glorious Law of God. People, this is very important. Very important information. The papacy, the Vatican, set forth something for public consumption that was not in good working order. Again, and some nice people say so correctly, I read the Bible, but I don't understand it. The Vatican did not mean for you to understand it. That's why you read. And you still don't understand it. And you go to church. And you listen to the minister. Many of you, some of you don't go to church. It doesn't matter. But you still don't understand Bible content. But now, listen, you have no excuse now. You are without excuse. Understanding is here now. Understanding is here now. We first understand that the heart is not right. And then we understand the correct matter. Huh? The heart, let's read on. I don't want to jump ahead of myself. These are important statements. That is, that's an indictment. That statement, thy heart is not right in the sight of God, that statement is an indictment against the Vatican. Why aren't these things being taught? Well, they are being taught. I'm teaching them. So I can't say that they are not being taught now. I am teaching them. But you can't find these things in the church. No need in asking your pastor, Pastor, is Tommy, is Lawmaster correct? He doesn't know. He hasn't heard Lawmaster. All right? Doesn't matter anyway. You know, he doesn't know. And if he knew, he's deceitful. He's a deceitful teacher because he hasn't told you. All right? Thy heart is not right in the sight of God. That's an indictment. My heart is broken. That's a confession. Their heart was not right with him. That's a confirmation. Isn't that something? A confession, a confirmation, and an indictment. Against who? The indictment is against the Vatican. The indictment has been read by God, and the confession has come forth from the Vatican. From the Vatican. an indictment. Thy heart is not right in the sight of God. 1 Corinthians 11:24 says, this is my body, which is broken for you. Now we know the part of the body that is broken. Broken meaning out of order, not in good working order. Now we know the part of the body that is out of order or that is broken. And what part of the body is that? It is the heart. The heart is broken. The heart is out of order. That's the Vatican's heart, that is. Now, God's heart is in right. God's heart is right. It's in proper or good working order. You read my document, you won't find deceit and deception. You won't find me hiding things as the Vatican has done. The Vatican hid things. God found things. God is making known the things that the Vatican has hid and kept secret. Isn't that something? God working in behalf of men, in behalf of mankind. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Okay. Wonderful. Let me see here. Wonderful. Wonderful beyond description. Let's move on. Let's continue. This is very good. This is very interesting. Okay. Job 15:9 says this. It asks a question. And it's talking to me. I take it personally. And I've told you before, I take Bible content personally. Somebody told me one time, a long time ago, don't take it so personally. Well, I take Bible content personally. Okay? The Bible asks a question. It says in Job 15:9, what knowest thou? And I want to read that because I want to read all the words in that statement. Job 15:9 says these words. Okay, 15:9. The Vatican has put these words here. Job 15:9, he says, what knowest thou that we know not? And as I said, I take this personally. The Vatican here is speaking to me because I have an answer for him. I have an answer for the Vatican. Okay, he says, what knowest thou that we know not? What understandest thou which is not in us? So two questions the Vatican asked me. What do I know and what do I understand? All right? Simple question, isn't it? Now, right above that, in the eighth verse, you have this question, and I'll read it since we are here. Hast thou heard the secret of God? Now, let's put these two things together. The Vatican has asked me, he says, what do you know, and what do you understand, and thirdly, have you heard the secret of God? Isn't that something? What does the word heard mean? Well, heard, we know, is the past tense of what verb? Hear. Now, what does hear mean here? Hear. Hear means H-E-A-R. In this statement means understand. Understand. Have you heard the secret of God? Have you understood the secret of God? Have you listened to officially the secret of God? All right? But this is the main one that I want you to keep. Have you understood the secret of God? Have you heard the secret of God? Coming from the Vatican. And my answer to the Vatican is this. Yes, I have heard the secret of God. I have understood the secret of God. I have come to a good understanding of the secret of God. And that understanding can be found in my latest document titled, The Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. That is my answer to the Vatican, to the Vatican's question. And in that question, making up the total or complete question, you have the other, what knowest thou and what do you understand? The Vatican can see what I know. The Vatican can see what I understand by getting and reading my book, the book of the glorious law of God, all things the demonstrated power of God. That's my answer to the Vatican. We have the Vatican's question. I have answered the Vatican. Okay? What do you know? What do you understand? Have you understood the secret of God? Yes, I have. I have understood the secret of God. And we are on our way to the glorious secret of God, the glorious law of God. Okay? The secret of God in the Authorized Version Bible is open in my document, the glorious law of God. Things hidden in the Authorized Version Bible are open in my document, the glorious law of God. What a contrast. What a contrast. Things you cannot understand in the Authorized Version Bible, you can understand in my book, the book of the law of God. Understanding is here for your consumption, is here for your use. What will you do? Will you make proper use of understanding, or will you stay in the seat of the deceived? Well, don't say you're not deceived. You know, the average person who is deceived will quickly say, I'm not deceived. That's evidence of his deception. He doesn't know that he's deceived. He doesn't know that he's deceived. He's been deceived by the Vatican and the Gentiles working together. The Vatican and the Gentiles working together to deceive the rest of the world. Isn't that something? God working in behalf of those who have been deceived and who would have been deceived future-wise. God working in behalf of those who have been deceived. Wonderful. Wonderful. The Vatican has worked to deceive you and to deprive you of valuable, pertinent, crucial, relevant information. Now, someone will ask, does the Vatican mind saying these things and bringing these things to the forefront? And my answer is that the Vatican does not mind. The Vatican has had a change of heart. Remember, the Vatican confessed. He said one of his confessions today was, "My heart is broken." An acknowledgement, huh? That's a confession. Don't forget that. Let's see here. Okay. I'm not where I can see how much time I have, and that's my fault, I guess. But that's my fault. Hello? Yes, I'm sorry for that interruption there. So I have answered the question set in Job 15:9 by the Vatican, asking, what do I know? What do I understand? And the eighth verse, he's asking me, have I heard or understood the secret of God? Turn quickly to Psalm 44:21. And you'll see something there, Psalm 44:21. Okay, and our time is wrapping up. 44:21 says this: Shall not God search this out? I've searched out the things that I've talked about today. I've searched out the heart coming from the Vatican. I've searched out the body of the Lord, speaking of the crucial content of Bible content. And now the Lord, the Vatican makes this statement about God. He says, he knoweth the secrets of the heart. That's another acknowledgement by the Vatican with regard to God. He knows the secrets of the heart. The secrets of the heart of the Authorized Version Bible. God knows the secrets of the heart. Okay? Please join us again next week, next Sunday, April 4th at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tune in to us and follow us. Follow us. I'm sure understanding has gone out today. Call me again. Call me for the document, the Glorious Law of God, 706-829-3624. 706-829-3624. I want to thank all of you for tuning in, all of you who will hear the program, even if it's later on. Thank you very much. Let me hear from you. Order my document. See you next time.